You can thank a bee for one in every 3 bites of food you take. Bees and other pollinators are the buzzing backbone of our crop industry.
They're important both for crop pollination, so for fruits, nuts, coffee, things like that, and also for wider biodiversity, for maintaining wild plant species, so they're really important.
This is bee expert Nigel Rain of the University of Guelph in Canada. But all is not sunny in the land of the pollinators. Rain and others have plenty of evidence that bees are in trouble.
There are fewer bees and they're less widespread, and this could be problematic because of the pollination services they provide to crops and wild plants.
Many things may contribute to bee declines, but several studies have pointed the finger at a class of pesticide called neonicotinoids. They've been used since the 1980s to treat plants from the seed up. Once you treat the seeds, the pesticide spreads throughout the growing plant, including their nectar and pollen. That means they get into what bees eat. Here's neuroscientist Geraldine Wright from Newcastle University in the UK.
Once they've consumed the stuff, they have problems with motor function, they have problems with olfactory memory, they can't collect pollen and bring it back to the colony so they can feed on it. I mean, or at least that's what these other studies have shown, is that they just cease to bring pollen back.
A couple of years ago, alarmed by results like this, the EU restricted the use of neonicotinoids. But the evidence is still debated. Some studies have shown no effects or only effects on certain types of bee. And some sceptics say that lab studies don't reflect what bees really do out in the field. This week, 2 new studies add to the evidence base. One is a big field study to see if the lab results still hold at an ecologically relevant scale. The other reveals something altogether more sinister about these chemicals. First, the field tests. Here's Nigel Rain again, who has written about the study for Nature, but wasn't involved in the research.
The Rundloff et al. Paper is really interesting for a number of reasons. Firstly, the scale of the experiment is much larger than any of the others that have been published to date of this type.
The authors compared 16 fields of oilseed rape, half planted with neonicotinoid-treated seeds and half without. They also use different types of bee.
And they put out into these fields, they put honeybee colonies at each site, they put commercial bumblebee colonies, and they also put solitary bees, so bee pupae, out. And they followed the behaviour, the development and the reproduction of these different species.
Honeybees can fly several kilometres, whereas solitary bees only roam a few hundred metres. And, as their name suggests, they don't form colonies. The authors thought they might respond differently to the pesticides, and sure enough, they did.
They found measurable impacts on bumblebee colony growth and also reproduction. The number of new queens and males that were produced by colonies next to treated fields were significantly lower.
The study also found that solitary bees did badly with the pesticides. Female bees who had fed on the treated crops didn't reproduce properly. But not all bees reacted quite like this. Honeybees seemed relatively unaffected, and they're the ones that are usually used as the test bee for chemicals.
The fact that they have different responses to this, to the same potential exposure to pesticide is quite a concern. I think there will also be question marks about how this varies across landscape types and different agricultural systems.
But maybe bee ecologists are worrying too much. Perhaps bees simply avoid pollen and nectar that contain neonicotinoids. The chemicals have a nasty, bitter taste, so it was thought that bees would steer clear. Here's Geraldine Wright again, an author on the second paper published this week.
It's funny, I was looking through a lot of the literature and I realized that most of the work that was done really focused on the chronic administration of these pesticides to bees. I'm not sure that there was really a lot of work done on the acute effects.
To test how the bees react to neonicotinoids, Geraldine and her colleagues gave bees a choice between a plain sugar solution or one containing a neonicotinoid. They found that not only were the bees not avoiding the laced food, they actually preferred it.
When Aaron Joe sent me this data in the beginning, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. We then pursued it in my lab to a much greater extent. So we just basically replicated all of these experiments with all 3 of those neonicotinoids in Bombus, the bumblebee, and also in honeybees.
But Geraldine's team also found that the bees couldn't taste any difference between the food. Their taste neurons reacted the same to both solutions. So how did they know where to go back to for more?
Neonicotinoids, the word is, it means new, nicotine compound. And as you know, nicotine is a very special compound. One of its modes of action, right, is to activate nicotinergic acetylcholine receptors. And one of the reasons that we get addicted to nicotine is because we have these kinds of receptors in our brain. Our work is indicating that bees also have these kinds of receptors in the neurons in their brains, which are involved in reward. And it could be that indeed they could potentially be addicted to these compounds, but we haven't shown that in this study.
So the bees are getting a buzz from these chemicals, which in turn are very damaging. In the EU, neonicotinoid seed treatments are banned on flowering crops right now. But that's up for revision at the end of this year. And in North America and other parts of the world, there are no restrictions. Here's Nigel again.
Pollinators provide or provide a massive service that we underestimated our peril, particularly those in wild pollinators that are they've kind of always been there and always been pollinating our crops. And now, if we're stressing them and really challenging them and they are struggling, we may start to see serious pollination deficits in crops, which means that we won't be able to grow food as effectively.
That was Nigel Rain and before him, Geraldine Wright. The two studies we talked about, the field study of pesticides and the lab-based taste test, are at nature.com/nature, where you can also find news and views by Nigel and a colleague.